This has been too fast. I got here last night, started, and man, we're putting the fourth layer on the cake tonight. Can you believe we've already put three on it? And the fourth one tonight, and this one, Lord willing, will seal this conference for you and in your heart what you ought to be doing for God in the coming days, months, and years ahead. You see, when you try to outgive the Lord, you never quit. Because the more you give to God, the more He's going to give back to you. And that enables you to give more so that God will give more. And that will enable you to give more. It just keeps on happening. You see that? Now, if you get a hold of that, and I'm going to prove to you some things tonight. We've got one of your deacons. He's got I'm 80 years old. I'm afraid I'm getting like Joe Biden, but I don't want to. What do you do when you got an object to show people? What is it? That's props. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, we're going to start out tonight. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read the scriptures, and I'm going to give you the illustration. I told you when I was at Tennessee Temple, there was a man there, graduated from Temple. His name was Bill Stafford, and I guess his real name was William, but we call him Bill, but he became real popular all over the South. I don't know where else, but he was a great evangelist, great pastor, and held some great revival meetings and all these things. And he was preaching one time, and he gave this illustration. He said on a Wednesday night service in one of his revival meetings, the spirit of giving fell upon the congregation. You ever heard anything like that? He said, a young couple was warmly moved by the Holy Spirit to give that night. The young husband stood and promised to give $1,000 in that special meeting. His wife was startled because they had nothing in the bank, nothing in reserves. He just did it by faith. Somebody said, how are you going to do it? He said, I'm going to go to the bank tomorrow and I'm going to borrow the money. And I'm going to pay it. And then I'm going to make payments on the $1,000. Now, folks, that takes a lot of faith. You don't hear tell of that very much, do you? But the man went to the bank the next day and a man walked up to him. He said to him, I was at the meeting last night. And he said, I figured you'd be coming to the bank to borrow that because I knew you didn't have it. He said, the Lord has led me to give you, to loan you the $1,000. And here's the deal. No interest. And you don't even have to pay me back. Is that a pretty good deal? Well, the wife now that was startled because they didn't have the $1,000, saw God's hand in it, saw the Spirit fall on the congregation, and she got up the next night and she said, I love what I'm seeing here. I'm going to give $500. Again, they didn't have any money. A man came by their house. This is all according to William Stafford now. He gave this illustration, a great evangelist, great man of God. He said, a man came by the house the next day, and the young couple had ripped out of their home some old rustic wall paneling and different kinds of beams and stuff. It was just old stuff that nobody hardly would want. But this man wanted to refinish it and turn it into something rustic for his home. He said, I'll give you $500 for that pile of wood out there in your yard. That young couple that didn't have anything gave $1,500, and God provided it just like that. Now, the thing that I want you to get to start out tonight is, according to William Stafford, he said the spirit of giving came on the congregation. Now, I've got a man here tonight. He's a member of your church now. He used to be in my church. I told you this morning, Jose Gonzalez. My wife was talking to me. My wife remembers everything. I'm not that fortunate. I forget. Sometimes that's good because you forget all your troubles, all your problems. Amen. But my wife remembers everything. And she said, do you remember, Jose, when you were raising money for the college, we had a stewardship banquet and all this. And do you remember Jose promising to give God $10,000? She told me that last night, reminded me. Jose, come up and take about 5 minutes and tell the congregation here how that God laid that on your heart and what happened. Remember, I had to raise millions of dollars to build that work in. Millions. It's all because of what I'm teaching you tonight that God did it. Tell the church.
I just want to start a little further down now. Listening to Pastor yesterday, I just felt like I was back home with him. And he said yesterday something like, you know, would he do that for you? Would he do that for me? And I'm here to say, yes, he would, because God is not a respecter of a person. I mean, I started out as a young man with really nothing. Alcohol and drugs for many, many years. I wasn't saved. I always knew and respected God, but I never really knew him. It was February 1989 that I accepted Christ. That just made 36 years this February. But I just want to say, I wasn't always a giver. I didn't really have a lot to give because your money will always go somewhere. And my money was always going to drugs, alcohol, this and that. I was a functioning addict. But my wife was saved through a TV preacher, and she started going to church. And I thought that she was having an affair with the pastor or something. She was there like three times a week. She never came home, you know, with the kids. So she'd be, yeah, I'm having an affair. Yeah, me and the three kids. So I was to the point, she used to draw my alcohol. I used to sneak it, put it in the refrigerator, watch the football game after she left. And I would look for it after she went to church. It would be gone, you know. So we was fighting. We wasn't really hitting it off too much. And I was ready to leave, but God had a different plan for me, and he worked a miracle in my life. And the same lady, my bus captain, Noreta Rodriguez, today's her birthday. She's 72 years old. Praise God. And that lady went through so much. I love her so much. And she finally knocked on my door, and I was ready. I accepted Christ and started going to the church, hearing, you know, about God's word. I remember my birthday, my 30th birthday, I was there, and Pastor was bragging about me being in church when I normally would have been out and hanging out in the streets and all that. And that started out my life as a Christian. But going back to the giving and all that, yes, God always provides. And I was taught to give. And I think about, he asked us to pray about giving $10,000. And my wife and I was like, should we pray about it? Should we raise our hands? So we did. Not knowing that, I don't even think it was 7 days after that, I ended up getting a check for over $17,000. So I opened it up and I saw the check with my name. So I chased the mailman down and I said, yo, what's up with this check here? He goes, whose name is there? I said, it's my name. He goes, well, it's your check. He goes, I don't know. Well, call the people, whoever sent it to you. I said, okay, I'll do that. You know, but when I got the check, I told my wife, honey, maybe we'll give $5,000. You know, she goes, no, we're not going to give $5,000. We prayed that, we told God we'll give him $10,000, and we're going to get, she don't budge, you know. But I said, yeah, you're right. So we gave God the $10,000, and that was our testimony. But it was amazing, because when we did that, and I wasn't working back then. I ended up being injured in my job, and they wanted to do back and neck surgery. So this was money that came to me that wasn't even aware that was coming. I was on disability, and I wasn't working, so I was getting checks. I was getting checks here and there, and this check came on. I didn't expect that at all. So we gave the $10,000, and shortly after that, I was praying about moving out to Pennsylvania. My wife didn't know that. She thought I'd never leave New York. I asked her, I said, honey, what do you think about moving to Pennsylvania? I've been praying about it, and I believe God is leading me there. She goes, I'll leave tonight. So she was ready, you know? But we did, and like I'm saying, giving that $10,000 was just God testing me, because Amen. He opened up so many doors after that. Getting the property out here to my son-in-law, it was worth so much more money than, I mean, I was probably willing to spend. My house, my home, I got a good deal there. And I mean, that year was a year where if you're a new home buyer, you got a tax credit of $8,000 or $12,000. I mean, something like that. And you got new windows, and I mean, it was just all God's timing and all that. And that was just one instant. I had a gentleman, Pastor Nelson, I forgot his name, but he was well known, and he was brought in, and I let him invest $10,000 for me. And somehow things went pretty bad, and the market started crashing, and he wasn't able to give us our money back, and I wasn't able to get no interest. But little by little, he started paying me back. And he paid me maybe a little over $2,000 before he went to jail. So he still owed me $7,000 or something. But my new home, somehow, I mean, God just works all things out. I ended up having a flood. To this day, we don't know where the water came from. All we know is that the guy came in, took pictures, and I got a check almost to the penny of all that money that I lost, $7,000 and something dollars. So what I'm saying is, when you do right by God, He always takes care. He takes care of you, but you have to have that faith, and that's what I'm saying. God's been good to me, and I listened to my pastor way back. He hasn't changed, and I learned a lot. And we spent the day with him today, and it was such a blessing. I love you, Pastor.
Love
thank you.
Love you too.
Man. Here.
Thank you
Praise
very
God.
Much.
Praise God.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Going back to 2 Corinthians 9, I gave you that illustration about William Stafford and saying the spirit of giving came on the congregation. I feel like, because of all the biblical teaching at International through the years, I really feel like the spirit of giving was on our congregation. Tremendous amounts of money had to be raised. We had to buy buildings, and we didn't have any money. We had to raise it, and we had to renovate buildings, and we had to start schools and a college. That it's not cheap to do all that, but I really feel like the people, because of the teaching of the Word of God, let the spirit of giving come over them. That's why they were able to do such great things for God in those days. And so I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 9 and read this scripture here. Verse 6 says, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart." That's where I get plan ye giving. You got a purpose in your heart to try to outgive God. You've got to plan. You got to get a plan. You can't just haphazardly pull out a little bit of money every time the offering plate passes. You have to plan. You have to purpose in your heart to try to outgive the Lord. That's what it says. "Every man is according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." What does that mean? That means you ought to get happy. You hadn't ought to be critical of preachers that talk about giving to God and building God's work and spreading the gospel. sending out missionaries all over the world through Faith Promise. You hadn't ought to be critical and a gripe all the time. You ought to be joyful. You ought to be happy. You ought to be thrilled that God can use you to give your little bit.
Yeah.
And even if you'd give $1,000 today, that's a little bit to God. To us, it might be a lot, but it's a little bit to God. And so, notice, God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver. And then verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, there's where I get the title, that ye having all sufficiency in all things, not a few things, all things. Whatever you face, God's going to be sure you got enough. That's what Jose was saying tonight. He doesn't know even how it all worked out. God knew all along, didn't he? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You want to abound in good works? You got to have the spirit of giving. You've got to ask God, God, what do you want me to do this year? I'm going to give the tithe. There's no way I'm going to be a God robber. I'm not going to get the curse of God on my life. No way, God. I'm going to give my tithe. But now, that doesn't bring any blessings from God on me. That just keeps the curse of God off of me. So, what am I going to do, God? How much you want me to give as an offering this year? I told you this morning, my wife and I started trying to outgive God. The first year we started, we gave about 12%. I did not even have enough to tithe, much less give 2% as an offering. You see, God blesses us when we start trying to outgive God in our poverty. I was raised in poverty. My dad fought in World War II. He came home from the war, and shortly thereafter, the Great Depression took place, and my dad and mom lived through the Great Depression. When I was reared as a boy, we didn't have clothes that were like most people. We had hand-me-downs. Once a year, my dad would buy me 2 pair of jeans and 2 shirts to wear to school. By the time that year was up, the pants had holes in the knees, and I wasn't trying to buy clothes like that that was in fashion. Back then, it wasn't in fashion to have holes in your knees. We just lived in poverty. But all I can share with you is, if you will take the scriptures right here and believe them and put them into practice, God will make all grace abound toward you, the Bible says here. All grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I want to stop and pray tonight and ask God to bless the remainder of the conference, this one service, as we put the fourth layer on the cake and as we get ready to take the faith promise. See, this could be one of the greatest things tonight that ever happened to some of you people, as you let the spirit of giving fall on you. And you quit looking to gripe and complain about giving, but you start joyfully finding a way to give what God gives to you in the first place. Let's pray. Father, touch hearts here tonight. I know that I've spent my life teaching people stewardship, and not my life, but many, many of the years at my church I spent trying to get our people to have the spirit of giving, and it worked. And many, many, many of our people tried to outgive you. They proved that they couldn't do it. Let all these people here tonight have the spirit of giving fall on them. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank the church tonight for all the good things you've done for me before I go on and forget it, because when you get to the end, so many things happen I might forget. But this church is one of the most giving churches, and you take care of your guest speakers. You put me in a nice, really nice hotel. You got me a rental car to drive while I was here. I've never had that much. They always pick me up and take me around and take me back and all of that. But you got a really nice rental car for me. And they brought up to my room yesterday afternoon a basket full of apples and little packs of goodies and just a complete basket. I couldn't believe it. And the man said, a lady with two children brought this for you. And I read the card and it said from the church, but I know Angela brought it. And she dropped it by and she said she didn't want to bother me, so she had them to bring it up. But you have done so much. I've just been here half of a day and a full day, 1.5 days, and I just feel like you've spoiled me to death. And that again will bring the blessings of God on a church like yours, because you are developing the spirit of giving while you're already giving of yourselves to make somebody feel comfortable. I thank you very much. Now, to finish out the message, and I don't have much time, I'm just going to throw a few things at you. Then we're going to close by giving that illustration of proving that you can't outgive God. I want to say several things now. I said the title of the message, God's Promise for Your Sufficiency. Now, in order for you to claim that promise as your own, you've got to discover a couple of things. Number one, discover God's greatness. We serve a great God. He's wealthy. He's a king. He's royalty. God knows. He says you'll have poor people with you always. Poverty is always going to be all over the world. Always. God said that. But God doesn't want his people to stay in poverty. You get saved, you might be in poverty, but when you start giving to God, the God of wealth, the God that is a king, he loves his subjects, he loves his people, he wants to take care of you, he wants to do special things for you. When you start trying to outgive the Lord, God will make all grace abound. You got that text, didn't you? God will make it happen if you just believe him. To discover God's greatness, what the believer must settle in his heart is that everything belongs to the Lord. The car you drive, the home you live in, the clothes you wear, they're just loaned to you by God. Everything belongs to the Lord. Exodus 19, verse 5, all the earth is mine. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, all that is in the heaven and in the earth is mine, is thine. The silver and the gold, that verse says, is mine. Without a proper understanding now of this truth, your giving will never be what it ought to be. But if you can get a hold of that truth, another principle necessary to grab this truth is that God is not only great, God, everything belongs to the Lord, but God is able to make it happen. God is able. Amen. Let that sink in. Another truth we need to realize is that God owns us.
Yep, right.
This body, God lets me live in it, but even my body belongs to God. I preached a message in Brooklyn time gone by about stewardship of your body. That's why you ought to study up and try to eat healthy and try to take care of that body God's given you. I look at everything and I realize it all belongs to God. Even my life belongs to God. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16, the second part of the verse, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Discover God's greatness. Number two, discover the abundant supply. Whoa, stop and think about it. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God, that's a personal privilege. Did you know that? Shall supply, that's promised provision, resources. You're going to have enough to make it happen. People are not our source of supply, only instruments of supply. According to Philippians 4:19, we have an unlimited resource waiting for us to cash in on. Man, I just get cold bumps just thinking about all these good things and how good God has been through the years, and how that I have proven in my life and my church people has proven in their lives, you just can't outgive God. God has all the resources necessary for you to keep your commitments if you'll really let the spirit of giving of God fall on you. Number three, discover the truth that you should release your hold. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 8. Turn back there. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. They were not just in poverty, folks. They were in deep poverty. Notice what it says. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I am not a liberal. I'm conservative. I'm red through and through. I bleed red. Amen. You can deliver me from this woke crowd. Man, I don't know how anybody can be for a politician that's woke. Wants men in girl sports and transgenders, wanting to tell your children against the parents. They don't even tell the parents, but they'll indoctrinate the children to turn from a boy to a girl. Let me tell you something. There's only two genders, male and female. There'll never be anything else. And you're not, no man is going to ever have a baby. That to me is what a woman is. A woman can have a baby. A man can't. You got it? And this transgender crowd is just, I mean, it's really the radical thing that's happening today in politics and everything. It's pitiful. But if you'll look at this, I like the word liberal when it comes to this. When it comes to giving, I want to be a liberal giver. Amen? Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now you ought to underline that right there in your Bible. Willing of themselves. You'll never outgive God if you're not willing to give yourself to try it. If you're not willing to say, God, I'm going to prove you, and I realize if I prove you, you're going to turn around and prove me. So I'm looking at all these things happening for the Lord, and I have to let God. I'm convinced that one of the major keys to a real Holy Spirit revival will have to include a breakdown of the stronghold of selfish giving. I don't want to be a selfish giver. I want to be a liberal giver. Their giving was the key to releasing the river of grace, according to 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 8. Number 4, discover that it starts with giving from your poverty. That's where it starts. Not many people get saved or rich. Rich people don't need God. I prayed for Donald Trump's salvation. I gave him a track in New York one time. He was sitting in a restaurant. My wife were in the restaurant. And I didn't want to make a scene or anything. I didn't want to embarrass him. He made a statement one time. He said, "I know there is a God and I wish I could know him." He said that on the news. And here, I couldn't believe it. My wife and I are in a restaurant, and here's Donald Trump with his, I don't think it was Melania back then. I think it might have been one of his other wives. But I went up to him, trying to be indiscreet, trying not to embarrass him. I just gave him a track. I said, "You don't know me," but I said, "I know you. And I know you made a statement on the news. I know there is a God, and I wish I could know him." And I handed him that track and said, "If you'll read this track, it'll tell you how to know the Lord." And if you notice, he has taken up for Christians now. I don't know that he's gotten saved. I'm hoping and praying that he has. If he has, I want to see his curse words quit. But the preacher's right. If it wasn't for Donald Trump, we as Christians would probably be being put in jail. All kind of bad things would happen to us. Thank God. I love his policies. I love how he wants to make America great and healthy and all those things. But I know this. He has gotten a track, and I'm praying somewhere along the line enough seed was sown in his heart that he might get saved or has been saved. And if he has been saved, I'm praying that he'll be brave enough to witness from the White House. Wouldn't that be great? A witness from the White House for Jesus Christ. I love it. Now, discover that it all starts in your poverty. Most people that get saved are living in poverty. A few rich people will get saved, but compared to most people, it's poor people. So you can't wait till you get rich or get wealthy to try to outgive God. You start in your poverty. I'm skipping quite a bit tonight because of our time. Time is fleeted by here, and I just want to conclude here. Number 5, discover that you can go from poverty to plenty. Notice I'm using the word discover because everybody's got to discover these things. Discover that you can go from poverty to plenty. 2 Kings 4 verses 1 through 6. God brought this woman to understand that her provision had to be a miracle from God. When you try to outgive God and you plan your giving and you say, "I'm going to give God my tithe, I'll never rob God, but I'm also going to give God to start with just a little bit of an offering, 1% or 2%, whatever you choose," then you've got to discover the truth. God is going to make it happen for you. God, in other words, you need a miracle. Jose needed a miracle. The man I told you about that gave the $1,000 needed a miracle. You're going to have miracles if you see it happen. This woman in 2 Kings was chosen out of all the others of that day to be a part of God's heavenly program. When you're giving and the spirit of giving falls on you and you get excited about it and you're joyful about it, next year when you get ready to give your commitment, you know what? You'll see God has worked for you this year and provided for you this year to keep your commitment. And next year you'll be more excited about it. More blessed. Discover that you can give your way to prosperity. I close with this thought. I'd like to say a lot more, but it's just going to get too late before till we do everything we got to do, so I'm going to quit. I just want to close by saying this. Tithing is a debt you owe. But giving is a seed you sow. The lesson we must learn is that if we want to be rich, give. If we want to be poor, hoard. Many believers are like the Dead Sea, always taking in but never giving out. The result is deadness. You ever been to the Dead Sea in Israel? It's full of minerals and salt and all that. But in fact, if you go and swimming in the Dead Sea, I've never done it, but they say if you go swimming in the Dead Sea, you float automatically. You don't even have to try to float. You can't hardly go under in the Dead Sea. There's too much salt and minerals in it. It's dead, in other words. You can't drink the water. You can't live off the water out of the Dead Sea. So don't forget, what I spend, I lose. What I keep will be left to others. What I give remains forever. Can I say that again as I close? What I spend, I lose. What I keep will be left to others. What I give remains forever. If you will discover these things and just relax in the Lord and believe the Lord can make it happen for people in poverty, don't wait to try to outgive God till you get something to give. You start giving and God gives you more. And then you can give more and God will give you even more. You never can outgive the Lord. Bob, would you come up, please? We're going to show you something here. I want you to see this. It's turn in your Bibles to Luke, and this is the last verse, I promise. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We're going to prove something to you here tonight. They're going to put it on a table up here so that you can see they're getting it up. Now I want to take this container right here. This is what we're going to pour wheat into. Notice the verse. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I've worked. I'm a farmer. Let's say, okay, I'm a farmer. I grew up on my grandma's farm. I know a little bit about farming. I raise wheat. This is wheat, right?
Yep.
I raise wheat for a living. This is the container that I'm going to bring to God. Now notice, I'm going to have Bob to pour this wheat into this container. He's going to fill it. Old-timey farmers, they used to have to take their wheat to market. I know they got tractors and all kinds of things make it easier today, but the old-timey farmers, they would take it to have the wheat ground and all of that at the mill, and they would take it in a container like this, similar to this, a bushel basket, something like that. This is the measure now that we're going to measure to God. Most of the time when the farmers would carry it to the mill, they would fill it to about an inch from the top, somewhere around that. It wasn't always the same for everybody, but they'd fill it to about. So Bob's going to fill this container now. This is the measure that we're using. Whatever measure, notice, With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured back to you. So watch Bob fill this up to about an inch from the top. Now that's the way, if you're going to take it to market, you would take it to market. So this is what we're, this is the measure now that we're using. And God says, you bring this to me, I'm going to return it to you. Only I'm going to do something. This is what I want you to see. This again makes chills go all over me. This is so powerful if you'll stop and think. Now, we've got more wheat. Oh, before we get that wheat, the Bible says, notice the verse again, good measure, pressed down. Bob, press that down. He's pressing it as much as you can get it. And then the Bible says, shaken together. Shaken together simply means you pack it down. So bang it on the table. There you go. Now this is what God does to it after you bring it to Him. Now, it was an inch to start with, and now it's about an inch and a half to 2 inches in places. If you spread some over here, we've got about an inch and a half. So we have packed it down now. We got more room for God to pour more in. You see, this is God's promise to you. So now take, we got more now. God, this is what God's going to add to what you brought Him. Watch this.
20%.
This is 20% more than you brought to God. Go ahead. That's 20%. And notice, it's still not full. So He brought some more. You know what it's showing? It's over 20%. God will give you more than 20% of what you brought to Him. Pour that in there and see if you get... See, it says in this verse, shaken together and running over. Now, I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. I bring a container to God. This is the measure. And it was about up to here, about an inch. And then God says, what you bring me, what you bring to me, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to pack it down. I'm going to shake it down. I'm going to bang it on the floor. and then I'm going to take more, and I'm going to actually run it over before I give it back to you. You know what? I underline verses in my Bible, but certain special verses I take and mark it in a bright color that I want it to stand out to me. It's in green, a green marker. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, packed down and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Notice God says He'll use men to give into your bosom. God is the one that's giving it to you, but He'll use men to do it. So folks, if you want to live in poverty all your life, don't give. Don't get you a plan to try to outgive God. Just give a tithe maybe to try to keep the curse off of you. That's all that happens when you give a tithe. The curse of God won't be on you. God is not obligated to bless one iota if you tithe. That's holy. That belongs to Him. Give your tithe to keep the curse off of you. Don't give any offering unless you want to see God give you a container. The same measure that you bring it to God, it's going to be about this full when you bring it. But when God gets through, He's going to bring the same measure back to you, only He's going to run it over before He does.
Yeah, right. Amen.
So here's what I want to leave with you. You're getting ready to make a faith promise commitment. I remember when I started, I gave my tithe, and then I learned to give offerings, and then I learned to give above offerings for missions. You see, I personally believe everything ought to come through the storehouse. I don't think you ought to give money to TV preachers unless God lays that on your heart to give above your commitment you've already made to your church. I believe most of our giving. See, I can't trust a TV preacher. I don't get any financial reports from a TV preacher. How do I know where the money I give is going? Amen? And so I don't give much outside the local church. I never have. But I'll promise you this. If you want to give something extra and above, but you get your plan to outgive God, and you bring this measure to God, and God's going to press it down, shake it together, pack it down, and then He's going to pour more into it. And Bob proved to you tonight. That's why I wanted a deacon to do it. Bob proved to you, when God brings it back to you, it'll be over 20% more. Preacher, I'm going to let you take the rest of it.
That's seeing is believing right there. That's the word of God. Amen. Let's stand together.